your children alone. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children alone. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount, where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Away from the mire and away from the clay, God leads his dear children along. Away up in glory, eternity's day, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Shaddix. Some of you Johnny-come-latelys think that is a new song, but that song is an old, old, old song that's been sung in Baptist churches for years and years. And what a blessing to hear it sung. Did a great job with it, Brother Shaddix. Well, that song is almost as old as Mrs. Garner. You don't get my attention while I'm doing something like that, because I'm sorry, I can't have it. Presidential candidate McCain made a very bold choice in a running mate. And so far, everything I've heard about the vice president candidate, I like. The fact is, from what I've heard about her, she's a better man than some that are running for president and vice president. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I heard an announcement today about a preacher that was going to begin a series on political incorrectness. And I thought, here is a preacher preaching a series on it when I've had a lifetime ministry of it. Genesis chapter 13. Stand, if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there not be strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, and it was well watered everywhere, and that's before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall the seed of thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is before Hebron. And he built there an altar unto the Lord. I want to use this chapter tonight and bring to you a message I've entitled, The Lot Syndrome. The Lot Syndrome. Heavenly Father, help me tonight that I might bring this message in such a way that our people, your people, might understand the terrible choices that Lot made and how he went about making those choices and the terrible downfall he suffered. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. I pray for the people along the Gulf Coast, even while I'm preaching, as they're trying to evacuate the area. Give them safety. Protect the people from the storms that are about to come. And Lord, I pray that there might not be the great loss of life as in previous times. And I pray for our nation and the choice of the citizens of this country as we choose a president for our nation. Give us wisdom. Let us not vote our pocketbook, but help us vote for a man, for a candidate on the basis of character and principle, and that person that would preserve our liberties and keep America what you intended for America to be from its inception. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. Fill me with thy spirit as I preach. Help our people to listen on purpose and not leave here just saying that the message was short or long. But may we go home tonight remembering the points of this message so that we can make sure we're never individual Christians that are suffering from the Lot syndrome. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you shall do in our hearts. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The word syndrome means a group of symptoms or signs that collectively indicate or characterize a disease or psychological disorder or other abnormal condition. A complex of symptoms, a syndrome is a complex of symptoms that indicate the existence of an undesirable condition or quality. Lot in the Bible is a picture of multitudes of Christian men and women who are members in our churches today. Lot is a representative man. Perhaps there's no other man in the Bible who represents so many Christians today as does Lot. Where we'll find only one Abraham or one Daniel or one Joshua among millions today, you'll find thousands of Lots. Lot was the nephew of Abraham. He was the son of Abraham's brother, Haran. And tonight for my message, I want us to examine the life and decisions and the fall of Lot and discover that special group of signs and symptoms that existed in his life that still to this very day results in the downfall of Christians whose lives are following the Lot syndrome. They always end up worthless and wasted in their life. May I say, first of all, that we need to understand from the beginning of this message that Lot was a saved man. I do not come up with this in my own imagination. The Bible tells us that he was a saved man. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 through 9 says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodlily." Ungodly. Doesn't have that last "lee" on it. "And delivered just Lot." Now that statement, "just Lot," does not mean only Lot. It's talking about his spiritual condition. He is a saved man, justified Lot. "Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, Lot, dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So in verse 7 and 8 of that passage, Lot is called just Lot, meaning justified Lot or saved Lot. He's called in verse number 8, righteous, that righteous man, and vexed his righteous soul. So God is letting us know in these above statements that Lot was a saved man. Lot knew better than to make the decisions he made in his life. But he made them anyway. Lot did not act or choose according to the principles of God's word. Nor did he make his choices according to faith. Lot followed the principles of this world and walked by sight and by feeling, just as many Christians in our churches do this very day. Saved men and women can make the same foolish mistakes the unsaved people make if we don't use the principles of God's Word, or if we don't learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it grieves me when I have to deal with Christians who are suffering because a father or mother made unsaved decisions. They made decisions like a lost person. They did not use the counsel of godly men or women. They did not follow the teachings of Scripture. They acted like Lot. They had come down with the Lot syndrome. By the way, how do you make your decisions today? Do you follow Bible principles? Do you seek good, godly counsel? Or do you still operate by sight? By the way, the outcome of our decisions are determined by how we choose. You can't choose wrong and expect right to come from it. You just can't do it. And Lot was a saved man, but he made decisions like a foolish, unsaved person would make decisions. Do you? Let me say in the second place that not only was Lot a saved man, Lot started out well. He had the right influence and example for his life. He traveled with Abraham, the friend of God. And what a wonderful testimony. God said Abraham was the friend of God. What does God think about you? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our life was in harmony with Him and to such a degree that God would say, that's my friend. Abraham, the friend of God. Lot traveled with Abraham. Now the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 verse 1 that Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him. So Lot traveled with Abraham, the friend of God. He saw Abraham's faith, and Abraham was called the father of the faithful. He had the right examples. He accepted Abraham's God. And may I say, there in the first part of his life, he was blessed, also similar to Abraham, how Abraham was blessed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, 5, that Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, Lot was blessed abundantly while he continued his relationship with Abraham. Now, I don't know that God blessed Lot because of Lot as much as God blessed Lot because of Abraham. Once he got away from Abraham, he started making the stupid decisions he made in life. But as long as he was with Abraham, he was enjoying blessings along with Abraham. May I say this same truth can be seen in many today. As long as we follow a man that God is blessing, we too can be blessed. Did you hear what I said? As long as we follow a man that God is blessing, we too can be blessed. That's the reason Paul said to the young carnal Christians in Corinth that did not know how to walk with God, he said, follow me. And then in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians verse 1, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And while they followed him, they walked with God. Every Christian ought to seek out a man of God that God's blessing and follow him. Then you too will be blessed because of that man. It happened with Lot as he went with Abraham. And it happened with a nation, Egypt, in their association with Joseph. It happened with Elisha as he followed Elijah. And it still happens today. By the way, if you're the kind of Christian you ought to be, the business you work at will be blessed because of you. If the man of God is the kind of man he ought to be, the church will be blessed because of his leadership. And if the people follow the man of God, they'll enjoy God's blessings on their life because of their relationship with the man of God. Every young preacher ought to learn this principle. You ought to find a man of God that's walking with God and that's blessed of God, and you ought to be his water boy and learn from him and enjoy the blessings of God. Dr. Dennis Corll did that with the evangelist Joe Boyd. Dr. Corll's been blessed abundantly in his life. He was blessed then. Randy Taylor, evangelist Randy Taylor, likewise did that with evangelist Joe Boyd. We need to learn that principle. As long as Lot followed Abraham's leadership, he was blessed, similar to how Abraham was blessed. But Lot made a huge mistake when he broke away from Abraham. He didn't realize it. It didn't seem to be so for a little while, but he started downhill and didn't know it. And the end total of his life proves it. And may I say, thirdly, regardless of God's blessings, there were some serious signs and symptoms in Lot's life that resulted in his downfall. Listen carefully. First of all, we see him running from the problems with his herdsmen instead of dealing with them and with his uncle. And when he ran with the wrong spirit. He ran with a spirit of not concern because there was a problem, but he ran with an opportunity he thought to seek greater gain. He never dealt with the problems. He sought only gain for himself with no thought of how it might cause hurt. Do you reckon that this hurt Abraham's heart? I kind of think old Abraham was hurt when he saw his nephew make these foolish choices. And I think he was kind of hurt when he saw his nephew give no regard to what was good for Abraham's herds and only thought about his own. And by the way, do you ever give consideration of who might be hurt by your decisions? I never wanted to see my mama and daddy hurt, especially by my actions. I saw my mama and daddy weeping because of some stupid stunt I pulled one time. And I didn't like it. It broke my heart, and I said, God helping me, I'm not going to pull that silly kind of a stunt again. I don't want to see those I love hurt because of stupid decisions. Abraham, or Lot, didn't care. He was thinking only of himself and how it would benefit him. He didn't think of how he might hurt others. Let me give you this truth and write it down and remember it. You cannot run from spiritual problems. Now, you could run from a bear or a lion. You could run from a storm. You can run from a fire, but you can't run from spiritual problems because they're internal. And when you run, they run with you. So you got to deal with them. Are the spiritual problems going to take you down, down, down? And that was one of the characteristics of the Lot syndrome. Instead of dealing with the problem, and his was not just a physical problem, he had a spiritual problem. And he thought he could make a choice to run away from it, and it'd be all right. The second thing I notice about Lot is though that he was a child of God, though he was a child of God, he was materialistic. Look at verse number 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Then it says, Lot chose him all the plains of Jordan. Then Lot journeyed out toward those plains and separated them himself from Abraham. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plains. Now, let me tell you, there's two things that motivated Lot's decision. Ka-ching. He saw the cash registers and the numbers rolling with his herds getting fatter and producing. And he saw his wealth increasing. And secondly, he looked out on the plains and saw a couple of big cities out there with bright lights and laughter and music. And that's how he made his decision. Kind of like we make our decisions today. We think we can make a wrong decision and the outcome is going to be different than it was with Lot. He was materialistic. Like so many today in our churches, Lot was motivated by love for power and love for money and love for pleasure. He was blinded into believing that power and money would bring his family and bring him great happiness. Lot never considered how his decisions and choices would affect his family. And he ultimately lost his entire family because of his unbiblical decision and choices. I see it happening over and over again. I remember a young couple that were saved and baptized here during Desert Storm. He was in the military. And after Desert Storm, he came back and he began to pursue the opportunities for promotion and greater income. And they came to him. And they left and they moved to Georgia and then from Georgia moved to California. About a year after they got out to California, I got a phone call one day and it was the man. An officer in the military and he was weeping. And then asking me for prayer and telling how his wife had left him and ran off with another man. He found out that promotion and material possessions and the bright lights and greater power was not really the main things of life. He learned too late that how important his family was. And he lost them. They had a child, a small child, one child. And the lesson he learned too late is the same lesson that Lot learned too late. A Christian does not gain by ignoring the will of God and Bible principles in order to seek promotion and financial gain in this world. The outcome for the Christian is always the same. It's loss. But not only was Lot motivated by power and materialism, wealth, Lot was selfish. He was selfish. He cared nothing about how others felt or be hurt by his decision and choice. He thought only about what it would do for him. And all he could think about was the lies the devil had put in his mind. By the way, the devil is a liar, and he's a master at putting those lies in our mind, making us think that we're different. We can live in sin without suffering its consequences. He makes us think that we can make unbiblical choices and it turn out right. The old devil makes us think that we're different. We don't have to have that biblical relationship and spiritual relationship with God. We can still be a good person. But the fact is, we're sinners. And we're not just sinners, we are totally sinful. If we leave our decisions based upon our sight and feeling, our decisions are always going to be toward the world and the things of the world and the things that promote flesh and those things in our life that pump up the flesh. Lot was selfish. Are you? Do you make your decisions based on what you think's best for you? Or do you think about how it's going to affect others? How it will hinder your testimony for Christ? Do you ever ask yourself that? Do you ever ask yourself, is this biblical? Am I violating biblical principle if I do this? What I'm doing, is it going to honor God, or I'm selfish, I don't give a flip, it satisfies me for the moment? Lot was selfish. Perhaps Lot had come to the place where he thought that he did not need godly counsel any longer. By the way, this is always the sign of a fool. Are you playing the fool? I've had people tell me that others told them, I didn't come to Brother Smith for counsel because I knew what he'd say. And he'd try to talk me out of it. You know, this is worse than a fool. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin. He didn't seek godly counsel. He made his decision on the basis of profit, pleasure, power, popularity. Something else about Lot, he was strongly influenced by the world around him. Let me just put it down on the level where you understand. He is worldly. He is worldly. He had thoughts dealing with the world's appeal. He chose the bright lights of Sodom, even though he knew that he knew what was there in Sodom. He chose those bright lights of Sodom even though he knew he was out of God's will in choosing. So why did he do it? Because he's like some of you, he thought he could do it and get by with it. He thought he could get for himself in that city what God hadn't given him. Though he was saved, in Sodom, he put aside all the godly teachings he had learned from his uncle Abraham. During his time in Sodom, we do not hear Lot mention God or prayer or doing right or God's will for his life. Worse yet, he forgot about teachings and training up his own children in the way God would have them go. Why, he acted just like Christian families act today. They raise their children up They want them to be saved and go to heaven, but they raise them up to be worldly and carnal, and they're seeking more popularity in the world than blessings in the will of God. Lot lost every one of his children to sin and to the world. Lot was evidently willing to sacrifice his family for his dreams of power and riches. You say, oh, that don't happen. I had a man sit in my office, look me in my eyes, and tell me, I'm going to become a millionaire. And I've read the books about millionaires. And most of them lost their wives and children in becoming a millionaire. And if that's what it costs me, I'm willing to pay that price. That's when I asked him to get up and get out of my office. That's when I told him he was a fool. By the way, this man is still not a millionaire. He's got a million problems, a million heartaches, and I hope a million regrets. Lot never dreamed that his life would end up as it did. You go over to chapter 19. In chapter 19, we can see something later about Lot. Now keep in mind, from the time Lot made his decision to pitch his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and the time when God delivered him by angels out of the city, about 23 years passed. The full effects of our choices do not necessarily come to reality the same day we make them. In the process of time, he had two daughters that married men of Sodom, and two daughters that were so engrossed in the lifestyle of Sodom, when God told them to get out, they refused to go. They mocked. Not only did it affect his two daughters that married men in Sodom, his two younger daughters were worldly and carnal. Their life ended after they were delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah and saved from the judgment. They got their daddy drunk and committed incest with him and produced offsprings that became the Ammonite and Moabite nations that throughout the rest of the Old Testament were great enemies to God's people. They fought again and again and again against God's people. Lot never dreamed his life would come out that way. Well, there, God had to send two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. See, Lot had experienced some prosperity. He had been elevated to the place of a magistrate, a judge, and he sat at the gate. And he had settled disputes among people. How would you like to have the counsel of a backslidden Christian? That's who some of you go to for counsel. You know, as things always do, it seemed to go well at the beginning. Lot did get richer. He did gain prestige. He was popular in Sodom. Isn't that a great undertaking for a Christian to become popular and a leader among the homosexuals of Sodom and Gomorrah? It seemed to go well at the beginning. He grew richer. He was very influential. He became a judge. He thought he was different. He thought he could ignore God and His Word and godly counsel and still get by okay. He thought he could handle sin and it not affect him as or his family. He did not believe that sin would corrupt his family, but it did. And it corrupted them so bad, and him so bad, that when the angel said in verse 15, "And when the morning arose, the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wives and wife and two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city." Notice the angels hastened Lot. Look at verse 16. "And while Lot lingered," Lot wasn't in any hurry to get out of sin. I guarantee you, Lot thought, God's not going to destroy this city. That's just a bunch of religious talk. And when the angels hastened him, the Bible says Lot lingered. He told them not to look back, and Lot lost his wife because she turned around and looked back and became a pillar of salt, just like God said. You say, well, she was distressed because of her daughters. No, she was longing for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, where her heart was. Lot always thought that his way was better than God's way, but it wasn't. The effects of sin and violating God's word and will is universal, and no one is immune when we do it. Now let me conclude. I've preached to some tonight who are listening to my voice, who have evident in them the very characteristics we've mentioned concerning the Lot syndrome. We must not ignore these symptoms. If we want God's help, then we must acknowledge these things are in our heart and in our life. We must confess them as sin and seek God's forgiveness and help and deliverance. Seek godly counsel. Seek godly help. We don't get over our worldliness by ourselves. We need to make ourselves accountable to someone that has a relationship with God. Someone who will say, hey, you sure are getting carnal. I can see the world in your dress and your actions and your expressions. And have someone that'll do that without you getting angry when they do as you've asked them to do. I don't appreciate that preacher. He said I was dressed improperly. He said my talk was worldly or my actions didn't honor the Lord. You want him to ignore it? Some of you do. But if I do, then I put myself on the same level as you, and then I'm not right with God. Because you are my sheep. And I'm God's under-shepherd. I must lead you for Him. And I must encourage you when you're discouraged, rebuke you when you're wrong, point out troubled areas in life and practice when I see them, and try my best to help you get back to the place where God is pleased and honored. One of the joys of a pastor is to see Christians grow and mature and develop. To see Christians develop a heart and a spirit that they want to please God. They want their family to be brought up in the will of God and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What a blessing it is. I say to you, we must not ignore these symptoms when they appear in our life. Seek godly counsel. The more you try to deal with Lot's syndrome alone, the more apt you are to follow in Lot's footsteps and fall as surely as he did. And I remind you again, Lot did not come to this tragic end overnight. From chapter 13 to chapter 19 is a little more than 20 years that has elapsed. However, sin and Satan are in no hurry to destroy you and your family and your usefulness to God. He's willing to be patient and get it done. He allows sin to take its time to complete its destructive process. Thank God we have time, if we'll acknowledge it, to deal with it and get back into a place where we can get in God's blessings once again. And I want to quit tonight and simply ask the question, where might you be in the destructive process of sin? Are you allowing it a place in your life? Are you ignoring it? Do you think you can deal with it differently than Lot did without having the outcome Lot experienced? Or have you dealt with it and ran back to Calvary and back to the Savior, back to a close relationship with Him? That ought to be our desire. That ought to be the result of our decisions. Not pulling away from God, but running to Him and His Word and His will. Where are you tonight in relationship to God and in a relationship to sin? Promise you this, if you're living under sin and in sin, the process of destruction is already beginning to work. And in the process of time, it'll come to pass. When God hastens you to get out of sin, like Lot, you'll linger because you're so much in love with it. Acknowledge sin. Confess it as sin. Confess it as against God, first and foremost. Cry out to Him in repentance. Come back to Him. Come back to His Word. Come back to His way. Get back in church. Get back into the place where you can learn and grow. Instead of continuing to live like Lot and end up losing everything. Father, You put this story in the Bible not because You was proud of it. Lot was one of Your children and he broke Your heart and he violated Your word, and You were not proud to write it down, but You did it for us, that we might learn from the foolish decisions Lot made, so that we can live a different life and have a different outcome. Speak to our hearts tonight. We have about us that sin nature. Every day of our life, we have to battle with the pull of this world. We have the same feelings and urges Lot had. We desire power and we desire wealth and we are materialistic and we look for happiness and fun. But Lord, let us realize that we're not just physical people and sinners. We are God's children and we have a higher calling and a higher purpose. We have greater directions. We have victorious help in our life if we'll take advantage of it. Speak to our hearts during this invitation, Heavenly Father, lest we be guilty of having the Lot syndrome and not dealing with it, lest we end up like he ended up. Every daddy in here ought to be fearful for his family, because it's daddy's decisions that put Lot where he was. Lot made those decisions that resulted in the loss of his family. Help us as daddies, as men, to lead our families for you, to stand firmly on your book. Let us desire the blessings of God and the will of God and the good pleasure of God. Let us be willing to put forth the effort and the energy to raise and teach, train and protect our children so they'll not become victims in this old wicked world. The Lord, speak during this invitation in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.